You're listening to the Soul Inspired You podcast, a place where inspiration meets contemplation with your hosts, Beth Hewitt.
And me, Melissa Amos.
Together, we'll unravel the threads of inspiration and explore what moves and stirs our souls. So get ready for conversations that will ignite your spirit and expand your perspectives in the hope that we'll inspire you to live your own soul-inspired life.
Good morning, Beth. How are you today?
Good morning, Melissa. I'm good. The sun is shining. Spring has sprung, I think. My daffodils are coming up.
I've got my tulips out. Spring is trying to spring, isn't it?
It is. So I've been doing a bit of decluttering, which I think a lot of people do with this time of year as well. So letting go of the old and allowing space for the new to come in. So that's what I've been up to, really.
Well, that makes sense why this morning I had this sudden urge to go around. It's like that song, collecting your jar of hearts. I literally picked up all my like empty jars. I saved them. I work with this healer. She makes all these balms and lotions. And when I give her, I have a lot of like blue bottles from Neil's Yard, and they're really good at stopping the sunlight getting in and all of that. And so yeah. I keep them all, but they get scattered around. And this morning, I just picked them all up, put them all in a bag, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get them ready for my friend in it. So maybe there's a decluttering thing going on.
Maybe. Yeah. Like pruning and cutting back and gathering and nesting and all of the things. So, yeah, I like that energy. I think sometimes it can feel like an effort to do that, but then other times it can feel like, today I want to spring clean kind of thing. So
right.
That feels like the order of the day.
It's really interesting, I think, when we really dip into our body's cues and our inspirations and our thoughts, that we can tell. I have a story that I hate cleaning. I hate it. I'm like, everything. And so I tell myself that story, but sometimes I get this urge, like it's more to do it. And we have a choice, don't we, at this point? We either go back to a story like, oh no, I hate that, or we do it. And then somehow it helps us feel more energized. And that story can park itself for the days where I do not like cleaning.
Yeah.
Maybe I should change it to most of the time. Some of the time, I don't like cleaning.
I know what you mean. I'm not a big cleaner. It's not my thing. But there's something of clarity that comes with decluttering and cleaning. And I think sometimes when we're feeling a bit stuck or in that busy energy, that actually just stopping and clearing the decks is actually a really good way just to allow new inspiration to come in, allow new things to come in, like physical objects and people and all of these things. So it's a good thing to do. But yeah, and I don't think it matters, but should we be led by when we feel like we need to do that, or should we be carving that space out in our diaries regularly so that we can really cultivate that power? But then it starts to become more of a habit and something that we might want to do or might not want to do.
I can't ever imagine. I think that if I had that diet, that would be the thing that got pushed every week.
Same.
Yeah. But I do have my space here. And last week I was teaching Reiki, so I had all my Reiki books out. Sometimes I think I learn by osmosis, right? So I just have all the books, even if I'm not using them, and then the notes and all of the things. And there's a couple of manuals that go with it and all of that. So they've been sitting there. And then I've got this tarot decks and my notebook from the business mastermind I'm in. And this week I've been doing my challenge. And it's interesting because I can be in, for example, teaching Reiki and have all my Reiki things around me and it doesn't bother me. But as soon as now I've moved into a new space, a new teaching, a new experience, the Reiki books, which are taking up the exact same space they were the week before, they are like, oh, you need to go away. Like you need to go in your home. So yeah, so then again, I have this urge, although I'm looking at my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tarot decks that are sitting on my desk right now. But then, yeah, I got this urge to, okay, I just need to clear that out. And it suddenly happens. And I think for me, if I force myself to do it, it doesn't have the same impact.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It is an energetic thing, though, isn't it? I think, like, just having something physically in your space
Yeah.
is we're connecting with it on some level. We're seeing it, we're sensing it, we're feeling it. We're in that energy. And so, when we're wanting to bring or start something new, to clear that space is a good thing to do. We used to have, and a lot of places do have, the clean desk policy, which I used to hate because I'm one of those people, I'm not messy, but I know where everything is. My other half is like very much, he likes everything in a certain way. He's very OCD about stuff, like even how the cups are in the cupboard. Whereas I'm like, one cup could be upright, one cup could be down, one cup could be to the side. So when I put, if I put the shopping away, 10 minutes later, he'll be rearranging the soup in the right order, which is fine. Like, we just live with each other's quirks, kind of thing. But I know where things are. If somebody says, "Where's the hairbrush?" It doesn't have a designated place, but I will know where the hairbrush is.
It's interesting, isn't it, how we create our lives and how what's important to us, and then understanding this energetic space. I had that same desk policy was working in the showroom, and I remember saying to my boss, who very much took umbrage with the state of my desk. I even had one of those pads that you could just write notes on, right? Like they just
Like the big
put,
ones,
yeah, the
the
big
corporate ones with
massive,
a branding
yeah.
on.
And I had, so I had one of them, and they just look, they do not look pretty, do they? Right. And then I didn't have to fumble around for notepads. And I said to him once, I said, the day that my desk is clear is the day that I have got nothing on. And he was like, you need to keep your desk tidy. And I think that we all work in different ways. Like for me, a lot of the time I can have things around and they don't really bother me. But then sometimes, like when there is this energy change, I'm like, now I need to change. Now I need to get rid of the decks. Now I need to, I've got this energy clearing spray that I use as a cleaner, like literally in my office. So I hate the smell of polish. And I think it's for our listeners, I think sometimes it can feel like, oh, okay, energy is important. So you need to work in a really clear space. And that's the way we do it. And Feng Shui will tell us that this needs to be here and that needs to be there. But the truth is, I think that our environment and our human, there's an interaction going on. And for some of us, that kind of chaos energy helps. And I think you, like me, are one of those people that can take chaos and turn it into coherence. Like we can take energetic wisps and inspirations and crazy philosophies and all of this, and then put it together into something. So maybe that's why.
I think that everybody's different, and I think that is it. I can make order out of chaos, whereas my other half needs to have order in order to be able to function. And I just think it's interesting how we are all different, and it's about complimenting, and it's about acknowledging and listening and working together in all of this to find out what works, especially in a relationship setting. But I used to hate like the clean desk policy, but I did see the benefit of it. Like when I did it, I did coming into the office and having a clear space allows you to not have that overwhelm at the start of the day. So it supported me. But yeah, it wouldn't have been like that would never be my preference of right, it's 5 to 5 now, we're gonna clear my
Yeah.
desk.
It's
It
like
was
it'll
just
still be here in the morning.
exactly.
And that
And I'm
is
just gonna
what I do.
And I'm going to have to unfind where it is. I know where it is, like tomorrow when I need to make that phone call at 9 a.m. I know where my piece of paper is, but now I'm going to have to actually go to the filing system and work out what conversation I need to have. So I just think it's an interesting concept that what space is and how it helps us, and but also how we individually can adapt to different things as well. And I loved what you said about you learn by osmosis, because I felt that very much when I've been in spaces and memberships of other people in other groups. Even when I've not been active in that group, I have by osmosis been picking up on what's been taught. Even if I haven't been physically in a lesson or a training. It's almost like just being in the energy of somebody else. You can pick up on little bits of conversations that are going on around the periphery, and you can put it all together, and you actually know what the training was. And I didn't know if I was a lone wolf in that, but I think when you said it, I thought, oh, Mel gets
I get
that.
it. But then I think this comes with being very aware of the subtle energy. It's also very interesting. I'm running my 5-day practice as we're recording this, and today is day two, and it's all about clearing the way and energy management. And for me, that's something really important. And as I think we become more sensitive, we become more able to pick up or at least decipher the different energies that are coming. So for some of us, that means that when we come home, that the space needs to be clear and clean and white and have one crystal on the desk and like one thing in there. And then that's it, because that's when we need to come and de-stress, or we need to come and regulate. And for some of us, that's what we need. I find that when my energy levels are good, when I'm feeling on top of things, I often don't notice the thing on the floor. Like my husband says, I have a superpower that I can walk in and I see all the tidy bits around the messy bit. And that's literally what I do. And he comes in, he's the opposite, and he can tidy up in 3 seconds flat. Whereas for me, it takes ages, because when I am putting things away, they need to go in the right place. But whatever it is that is around us is influencing that. And I think as long as we can be aware of that, then if you know what I'm doing at the moment actually is holding space for a lot of people, and they all have their own things going on. And so actually, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tarot decks that are sitting on my desk, out of their place of where they're filed, maybe on some subconscious level is helping me, because I've got 350 different people with all their own experiences and things going on that I'm managing and holding space for. And maybe in some level, these cards are giving me this coherence from the chaos, maybe. Now, it's interesting we're having this conversation, because I had this clearing out thing this morning. And when I came in here to record this, I was looking at all of my things, thinking, when we finish this call, I'm going to clear it all up. I'm just going to tidy it up so we're all ready. But we're talking about energy clearing today. So, of course, we are. So, my job when I'm talking to the group today is to be in that coherent, clean, straight, open energy, because that's what I'm talking about and modeling for them. So, this isn't just me trying to manipulate that. This is me responding to something that until now I've just said it. I didn't realize that there was actually some logic involved in there. I thought it's like, oh, I'll just give it a little clear out, just get nice and clean, get my energy cleaning spray and wipe the desk so it's all nice and clean and fresh. Are you ready to unlock the incredible power of your intuition and live a purpose-driven life? I'm Melissa, and I'm excited to guide you on a profound journey through our free 3-day Telegram group in Awakened the Vortex. Together, we'll dive deep into understanding and trusting your intuition like never before. If you've ever struggled to differentiate between wishful thinking from true intuition, or felt held back by doubts and fears, then this free group is tailor-made for you. We'll equip you with practical tools to navigate life's challenges with confidence and with clarity. To join us, visit melissa-amos.com/awaken-the-vortex. Join me as we embark on this transformative journey together and awaken the full potential of your intuition. So I suppose what I want to say to anyone listening is just be aware of it. If when you come into a space, you feel really overwhelmed and you feel cluttered and you feel hemmed in, then look at your space and be like, okay, am I hemmed into my desk? Have I got things all around? Have I got old tissues and I don't know, tea bags and whatever it is that accumulate, pens everywhere and things that aren't. I'm just looking, I've got the end of an incense stick just sitting in my abalone shell here. And that's old. I've used that to clean energy and I've kept the sticks there. It's going to have some subtle influence on me. The same time, if you feel like you need, I don't know, maybe some inspiration, you're teaching a certain subject. What if you did have all of your Reiki books, even if you're not going to be referring to them or using them or even opening them? What if they were there? And then something about the energetic of that book that has literally, having written a book, you know this, right? We
Yeah.
pour our souls into it. That book holds that energy. And that maybe just on some level, we tune into that and then we're inspired to do something. Maybe it's because we feel prepared, because if someone asks me a question, I don't know, I've got the book there. I don't know.
I think it's a feeling, isn't it? We know when we are ready to clear the decks and move stuff away because it feels good to do that. And other times we want the clutter around us. And it was interesting. I was doing some meditations yesterday, and what came up just completely, I wasn't expecting it to come up, was just this image of fountain pens and writing utensils that I've had through pretty much throughout my childhood, which sounds like a bit of a weird thing, but it was like these images. I was getting these images of when I first received my first fountain pen at primary school, and how like the joy and the energy connected to having that and this being an implement. But then as I started to continue to connect with that in the meditation, I then started to see these images of the pens that I received like a secondary school, and the energy of those pens was very different. And it almost felt like this writing utensil was actually a almost like a wand or a protection or a like a cloak for me, supporting me through difficult times. Like it's almost like this pen, this implement was with me in the classroom when I was maybe feeling anxious or overwhelmed or nervous as a teenager. And I'd not obviously picked up on that subtlety at the time, but these implements were just being shown to me over and over again. And I started to remember pens and fountain pens and ballpoint pens that I had used over the years that had always been there for me. And it makes sense to hold something in your hand and you're using that for whatever you're using it for, but it's actually picking up on the subtleties and the anxieties and the overwhelm that I'd felt in that moment. And I just had overwhelming gratitude and appreciation for these pens. So you just reminded me when you mentioned pens that came up. But
I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
There's a whole art to this. There's a whole art to psychometry, which is the art of picking up energies from objects. And we see this in mediumship quite often, that we say, oh, have you got anything of your loved one? And then they hold it in their hands. And then there's this connection. Because especially if you look at something, we hold something like a pen that you've held in at primary school, is the one pen. Now you get a pen license when you write the way they want you to. And you have this one thing, and like you say, it becomes your creative outlet, or it becomes your, we all have different experiences at school, or like a wedding ring where which you're wearing all day, every day, and how it can hold and anchor in the energies of what it is that's going on around us. But that is true for everything. And I think that this conversation is important because as we become more aware of, okay, this empty, I've just drunk this coffee, right? But this empty coffee glass has an energetic imprint in it. And whilst it has the coffee and it has everything that I associate with that while I'm drinking it, if I just left it here and left it for 4 days, it's starting to hold a very different energy. And subtly, it's maybe telling me I don't feel important enough to do this. It starts to send a vibe out into the world. And we are picking that up each and every time. And for me, it's about really becoming aware of there is always an interaction with me and physical objects, with me and energetic objects, with me and the tree, which is why when you go in the forest or by the sea, you feel better because you are in with these negative ions and they're cleaning out all of this charge. We live in a world that has Wi-Fi and wiring and electric cables overhead and under our feet and all of these things. What are we tuning into? And one of the most important things that I understand about myself and that I really needed to get good at as a human and as a spiritual mentor is energy management. And if your environment can support you in that, then you've just taken a lot of the heavy lifting out of it. Let your environment do that. why do I have this huge amethyst that sits behind me? Because it holds an energy. It stops energy. I do all my work from here, accumulating in the corner. And I've not just plonked it there. I've given it a job. We've had a chat. I clean up. It's really cute little unicorn brush thing. I'm going to show you, Beth. I think it's a makeup brush, right? It's like a
That's
fan.
pretty.
Cute, isn't it? And it came for free when I'd ordered some brushes. And I'm like, it has a job. It's feeding back energy. It's helping me transmute. It's purple. It's this energy of high enlightenment and transmutation. And so as I'm pulling energy in, rather than it all get stuck in that corner, it can feed something back to me. Above me here, I've got this six-pointed star shelf. And on that shelf, there's a bunch of crystals on it. Now, I haven't just put the crystals on there because they fit, because one of the bottom shelf is literally a V shape. So what can fit? So I've got a celestite, but I've got so many crystals that it's not just, oh, that fits there and that looks pretty. It's, okay, how can that support me? So that celestite helps me with my celestial collections. And I've got the labradorite sitting there. And the labradorite feels for me very magical and deep and insightful and mystical. And sometimes I need that energy. And then I've got the Buddha sitting there who I feel really protects me when I'm out in open space. It helps me to not, you think about what the Buddha entails, this enlightenment, yes, but this anything can be thrown at me and I'm protected. And so my environment is very conducive to the work that I do here in my home. It's different because in my home, it's not about me doing all of that. There's enough energetic. Got quite a few rose quartzes going on there, and I've got pictures of got Mickey Mouse, a Donald Duck, and a Goofy, like amazing artwork in there that we picked up from Disney World like years ago, because it has this more kind of fun and family quality. So how is your environment influencing you? How are you picking up? And you feel if it doesn't work. You walk into a room and you're like, oh, not this. And if it's there, not this, what's going on with the color? What's going on with the things in it? What about the position of your desk? And go and get a feng shui expert, maybe. Or go and have a look at what's it called? The Bagua map, where it shows you the different areas of your house. I think I'm pretty sure it's called a Bagua map. And it shows you the different energy centers of your home. And you'll be very surprised, like, for example, right corner as you're looking in from the front door is the love corner, right? And I didn't know this. And in that corner, I've got a sign that literally says, all you need is love. Before I knew, right? All you need is love. I've got one of like
I
these
love
sticks
that.
on the wall. I've got a wooden sculptury thing that says love on it. I had these candles. These what are they called love hearts, sweets, love heart candles in there with all of this stuff. I didn't even know. And I'm like, isn't that interesting? My book front left, which is the study and wisdom corner. And that was where my bookcase sat. And I'm like, now how interesting is that we were picking up on the subtleties and now I know, now I can enhance. So in my abundant corner, I've got a citrine grid with things, right? Trust yourself.
I think it's not just you picking up on energies when you walk into a room or whether you want to clear the decks. It's also what do you want to put into the space as well? What do you want to add that is going to create that energy that really fuels you and brings you happiness and joy? We've just redecorated the living room, and it feels like a very different space, different colours, different pictures, different fabrics, different energies. And one of the debates that we had was around the curtains. Now, the curtains, there was nothing wrong with the curtains, but we'd had them maybe 12 year. We had this whole debate around do we keep them or do we get rid of them? And my other half wanted to keep them. He thought they were okay. And I was like, but they've got 12 years of all kinds of energetics, birthday parties, arguments, happiness, excitement. I said, I think we need to, it's time to let these go and let some new curtains. And curtains are quite, they hold a lot of space.
They do, yeah.
And they also keep light in or dark, light in or dark, however you want your room to be thing. So they've got a big job to do. And I think they hold a lot of energy. So that was one of the decisions that we had to make. I'm so pleased that we got some new curtains. And I think
Oh,
he is
wow.
now also happy that we got some new curtains. But yeah, so it's not just about what we already contain within our containers and our space and our rooms and our environments. It's also about what we choose to place in the environment as well to make it feel even more special and being aware of that. But I do feel like everybody genuinely has that knowing, like we know instinctively when we walk in a room whether this is good or this is bad or something's off or not. And so I think just knowing where you want to put your water on the desk or whatever, or the pen that you use today, everything. We've talked about it before where you're like, oh, today I want to wear this cozy cardigan because this makes me feel these feelings. Or I want to drink from this cup because it brings me joy.
My water sits on my altar. It was such a small shift. I used to sit here next to my laptop. And then what was it doing? I was absorbing all the laptop.
Exactly. I'm
You
looking at
know?
my water now.
It
Next
sits.
up.
So my water, I have a crystal bottle, so it's in like a, and it's a glass bottle, and my altar sits behind me, and it's out of shot because it's private and personal, most of the things on my altar. And one day, it was when I was doing some work with a Shaolin master that I've been working with for a while. We were talking about the effects of water, and he said something really interesting to me. He's like, when we're working with energies, and especially with these really high frequency or the bodhisattvas and these enlightened beings, and we call them in, they're there straight away. But we often have these worthiness issues around whether or not we can be blessed by their light. And so we put up conscious or subconscious blocks to receiving their full power. And he said to me, water and food, they don't have the blocks. The water and the food will just receive whatever energetic it's in. And he says, so try it. He said, put a bit. So I had, for quite a while, I had a Buddha altar, and I had those little, his little offering cups in there, and I'd offer a one for nourishment and one for cleansing. And then I would give it to the Buddha, and then I would drink it. And I was like, oh, this water, like, it does feel different. And he said to me also, put some nuts or some food, it actually doesn't matter what food, you can put a chocolate bar if you want, there, and just notice if there's any difference when you're ingesting it. And I noticed a difference. I could feel that the nuts, I don't know, just felt more energetically charged. And so now I keep my whole water all the time. It sits in there. And when I finished it, I've got another bottle, which then I fill it up with. And then I leave it there for 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours overnight, and it's absorbing all of my intention that I've put in there, and then I'm drinking it. And what a life hack!
I love
What
that.
a top tip, put your water in it. But then you think, what if we used to do these meal box kits, the thing, and they got the instructions and all this. And at the time when we did them, I had the three children, and they were little, they were like under five, and they were all by my feet. And then I had the great job of following a recipe, which, with a brain like mine, following a recipe is not, but I wanted to do it because my Virgo rising, like, you need to do it. You need to do it in the recipe. And my Pisces is like, no, you don't. You do what you want, Melissa. Anyway, and then the kids. And I'd be cooking this meal, and I'd be getting really agitated, like all the time. I'd be like anxious that I'm going to do it wrong, or that, I don't know, there's too much, and I'm trying to follow and I'm trying to listen. I'd always also have some podcast going on at the same time. Don't ask. And one day I was like, I can't do this anymore, because I am literally putting into my food this anxious energy. And it made me wonder, I will not mention which food box company this was, but it did make me wonder how the workers felt when they were packing up. Maybe they felt anxious, or maybe the delivery driver felt, had a certain thing about them. Maybe the way the boxes were manufactured, or there's something in there that I was then picking up on that was adding to that anxiety. So what if in our kitchen we put something really simple? For example, I've got a rose quartz that sits on top of my, like, where my water is. And I've got another rose quartz which sits where my tea and fruit and eggs are. And it just sits there. And then there's like a nice picture, and then a thing on there, because it starts to go into the love corner of the room. What if we just did something like that? And then every time we cooked or made a drink, we just looked at that rose quartz and was like, it's all filled with love.
I love that. I think setting an intention and also having things in the space that is going to energize whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's cooking or watching TV or laughing, whatever's going on in the house, is a really powerful thing to do. Because I think we should always have an intention. We should always be trying to focus or get back to the thing that brings us. And we have to think like everything that's manufactured, all of those energies, you get a brand new mobile phone, all of the component parts of that mobile phone and who put it together and the factories and the packaging and everything, all of that holds energies and none of that is us, is it? So we should be clearing everything that comes into a house and blessing it and setting a new intention for it. It's like when we get a new card deck, we touch them, feel them, connect with them, set a new intention for the deck. And maybe we should be doing it with more things.
I think
Like,
we th this is this conscious awareness of it. And if we can think, oh, okay, I can feel better when I'm walking in the woods, or I can have a crystal and that crystal can help me, or I can have a book here and I can learn by osmosis. If any part of you is, oh yeah, I can do that, then it only makes sense that is just true for everything. It's not like coming into fear of, oh my God, this thing has arrived in my house. Now I need to leave it. Do you remember COVID? Now I need to leave it outside my door for 72 hours before it comes
I
in.
know some of the rituals.
But it's not that, but it's having that awareness that sometimes things will come in and it's within our responsibility, I think, to be able to go, okay, what do I need to do with this? How do I need to bond with this? How is this making me feel? Is this right? And if it isn't, maybe we need to move it, change it, clean it, connect with it, meditate with it, wash it.
It's having the awareness of it, isn't it? It's knowing what we're feeling around that. But my auntie who passed away around Christmas time, the family has been clearing that house out, and that has undeniably shifted some kind of energies in there. And people are picking up on things that feel a bit icky and that they're not them, and they're now having to bless the house and do all these kinds of things and clear all that space out. But we're picking up on subtleties of all kinds of things all of the time. And I think it's just having that awareness when we feel like something's not us or not right, or it's not filling us with happy thoughts and it feels a little bit more icky, that we can have that conscious ability to reset that and to clear that. And sometimes that starts with the clearing the decks and the desk and the and sometimes it might want to do something more ritualistic and use all the tools available to us. So
I wonder if it's inspired to spring clean now, and who is looking around their space going, like I am, going, oh, look at that, that's out of place over there. And just be conscious. Maybe 1 week, I'll talk about. I have a lot of crystal grids and things that I put on around the house, and they're an interesting conversation, I think, to have how they work. I'm looking at one grid that's sitting over there that I put up when I released my book, and it's still there. It's still there intact. And I look at it sometimes and I think, no, I still don't want to move that. It's still there. So that's been, it's coming up to a year. It's been there. So maybe we can have a conversation if the listeners would like about crystal grids and how they affect us and why on I have I'm surrounded by so many and what constitutes one. It's always fun.
That sounds like a fun conversation. Okay. It's been another enlightening, clarity-fueled conversation, and I shall now go clean the house.
Yeah, there we go. I'm going to go clean my energy in my yoga practice. But yeah, I've got 10 minutes where all of these decks and all of these books are going to be filed away, waiting, storing the energy, waiting for next time. So if we have inspired you to clean, clear, change or move, do let us know, because we'd love to know. And I'm sure your families will be delighted with you. I know my husband, when I do anything, he's, well done, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm inspired to clean. So if that's you, please let us know and we'll take the credit. listener, we hope you enjoyed today's episode and that you feel able to embrace those moments in your life that speak to your soul. Connect with us and subscribe to the podcast at soulinspiredyou.com or get in touch with us at soulinspiredyou@mail.com, where we can keep those soulful conversations going. Remember to stay inspired and curious so that you can live your best soul-inspired life.